Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will begin this morning's worship service with the singing of Psalter 362, the stanzas 1 and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. We mentioned to you Psalter 362, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, the first 16 verses. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 5, but before we will read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us in this morning hour. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, creator of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who art that eternal, only true Lord God, that Almighty One, the Creator of all things, the Upholder of all things. And it is in Thee in whom we live and move and have our being. Thou holds our life in Thy hands. Thou hast brought us into this world, and at Thy time we will also be taken out of this world to stand before Thee, the Almighty, Majestic God of heaven and of earth, against whom we have sinned. And Lord, we beg Thee then that Thou would teach us who we are. We know it with our minds, but would Thou teach it in our hearts, that we are sin. Teach us that Thou art a holy God, too pure to look upon sin, and that Thou by no means can clear the guilty, and that we are guilty. But wilt Thou also teach us, by Thy word and spirit, of who Thou art, as that merciful and gracious God, through Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom there is forgiveness of sins. Lord, we beg Thee then that Thou would gather with us today in Thy house. And Thou hast promised where two or three are gathered together in Thy name, that Thou would be in their midst. Lord, Thou art faithful. Thou art true. Thou art merciful. And Lord, we beg Thee then that Thou would also give, that we may experience today that Thou art with us, that we may go home today to say it was good to be in the Lord's house because the Lord was with us. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, for Thy presence, for the work of the Holy Spirit, that irresistible working of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, today and this week, it's a preparation week, and this morning is a preparatory sermon. Lord, wilt Thou give then Thy servant to preach clearly, simply, biblically, according to the meaning of the Spirit, death in Adam, life in Christ, and of those true marks that are in sinners by the work of Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg Thee then that the Holy Spirit may testify with the Spirit of Thy dear sheep, of Thy dear children, that they belong unto Thee, that Thou knowest of them, that they have Thy grace. O Lord, Thou knowest that poor and afflicted people who do not dare ever claim anything, who dare to say that belong unto Thee. O, we beg Thee, Lord, remember them, comfort them, teach them, instruct them by Thy word and spirit. We beg Thee, Lord, also if there are those who make a profession that they belong to Thee, that they have true saving faith, but they are not upon the rock, that only foundation. It's in their mouth, in their minds, but it's not true in their heart. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, in Thy mercy, awaken them before it is forever too late. Remember those who come to church, who would never, ever dare confess they have any grace, but are comfortable. They're comfortable being lost. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, that Thou would give urgency in their hearts, that also this week would be a blessing for their souls, that they may be awakened in their urgency, that they may make haste for their life's sake. Lord, we beg Thee then, work mightily with Thy word and spirit this morning, tonight in Thy house, but also in this week. Bless the reading, the searching of Thy scriptures, for Thou hast said, in them ye think they have, you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. Lord, we beg Thee then, hold not Thy hand still, but do wonders for Thy great name's sake, for the regeneration of sinners, for the awakening of the almost Christian, but also for the comfort of Thy dear people. Oh, may there be food and drink. May there be a longing. May there be a hunger, a thirst, a desire to come and to sit under those precious wings of the precious Savior to receive comfort for poor souls who have nothing, bankrupt sinners who seek everything outside of themselves, who are in the midst of death and need Him, who look to Him, who have that faith that clings to Him, who have no more hope in self, but only have hope in Him, that He is their life, their everything. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, then gather with us and give us those undeserved blessings of Thy grace, of the work of the Holy Spirit. And Thou knowest Thy dear sheep, Lord, what they need. Thy word is profitable for all things, whether they need reproof, correction, instruction, but also comfort. Richly bless Thy word, Lord, to that end. We lay before Thee all those who are mourning. Comfort them, widows, widowers, those who've lost parents, siblings, or friends. And we think also, especially this morning, remember also Janita Klopp, whose dear friend passed away in this past week, Maria. Comfort her, and also the whole family, and all the friends, all those who know her and who are grieving. Help Thy servant who will come to do the funeral. Give him a word to speak, and richly bless Thy word powerfully, that Thy word may be blessed, that the death of one may be the life of many. But also, Lord, for Thy dear people to see that death is not the end, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning of eternal joy, to be forever free from all sin, flesh, and to be able to enter into that eternal bliss, to be with Thee, with the ability to serve Thee completely, perfectly. Lord, we ask that Thou would remember all those who are sick and afflicted with bodily needs, mental needs, those who are in hospitals, those who could not gather with us. Oh, we beg Thee, remember them. Bless the means they may use. Remember also Lucianne and her family. Care for her. Bless the means that may be used for her body, but also bless Thy word. Oh, we beg Thee, when all these callings come unto us, Lord, that Thou would sanctify them to our hearts, that we have no continuing city here below, but that we must be prepared to meet Thee. Lord, prepare us for that moment that we must stand before Thee and give an account. Oh, teach us of that great need of a mediator, of one who came to fulfill Thy law, of one who came to make that satisfaction of the offended justice of God. O Lord, wilt Thou lead Thy people deeper into those mysteries of faith, and that they may be led to the cross, not only to enter through the gate, but that they may come to the cross, and that they may seek comfort in those wounds of the precious Savior, He who gave Himself as that Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Lord, we ask that Thou would then remember the whole congregation, also those who maybe have family members for different reasons, because of health concerns or old age, who could not gather with us. Visit them where they are, in the Bethany home or in their homes, and bless Thy word richly, mightily, powerfully. We pray, Lord, that Thou would then remember Thy kingdom. May it come upon this earth among Jew and Gentile. Bless it richly, Thy word, among Thy covenant people. Take away the veil from their eyes, and that they may see that the New Testament, Thy precious word, that the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it testifies that He is the Savior, that He is the Messiah, that He has come, that He has fulfilled Thy will. Lord, teach them as Thou hast promised, but also among all the Gentiles. Bless Thy word richly throughout the world. Help all those who bring Thy word also to foreign lands and nations. We think also in Bolivia, Lord. Remember the team there, the elders, the deacons, also Pastor Marco. Care for each one and richly bless Thy word there. Remember the mission board with all their responsibilities. May we also lay them before thee. Guide them, lead them by thy word and spirit, that all their decisions may be to the glory of thy name and to the extension of thy kingdom. Remember us also, Lord, as a congregation. Guide us and lead us by thy word and spirit, also as office bearers, elders, deacons, and as a pastor. Lord, we are sinful men. We need thy grace. And may we see in there there's a fullness to supply. May we be brought daily on our knees before thee, like Mary, close at thy feet, to be instructed, and that we may then guide and lead and instruct others. Lord, we pray then that thou would take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in preaching and in listening. Cast out the evil one, and may we have a good hour in thy house, in thy favor. And Lord, may we experience thy nearness, thy blessed favor, Lord. May we experience a little token that thou knowest us, a little smile from heaven, Lord. Come, richly bless thy words. We beg and ask thee. There's nothing in us, Lord. We send everything away, but may we ask it in the name of him who sits at thy right hand. May we plead upon his righteousness. May we beg upon his blood. Lord, do above all that we can think and ask. We beg and ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue with singing from Psalter 382, all five stanzas. Lord, thou hast searched me and dost know, where'er I rest, where'er I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. Psalter 382, all stanzas, and the collections for today for the church and for Rehoboth Christian School. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, as we read in Luke 22, verse 15, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with thee before I suffer." What is Jesus Christ saying to his disciples? To understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, we need to understand that in the time when they gathered to have food to eat and drink, it wasn't just to have food. It's actually like the Bolivian culture. It was also to have communion, a very special time to speak to each other, to have a time of communion. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples, with an intense desire, "I desire to have communion with you." Then after instituting the Lord's Supper and having communion with his disciples, he said further in the same chapter in Luke 22, 29 and 30, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." Congregation, children of God, there's a most blessed, glorious future coming for the bride of Christ. No words can describe it. What that glory will be, it will be an uninterrupted time of communion with God. God rejoicing in his people, and his people rejoicing in him. The bride will forever be gazing at wonder at their blessed Savior, their shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. No more sin, no more unbelief, no more separation, no more flesh. Forever communion, able to serve him perfectly, which he is so worthy of, and which his children in the bottom of their hearts desire. What a blessed future for the triumphant church in heaven. And we read in Revelation 19 that this communion is referred to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, longs for this day. He prayed for this day in that blessed high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 24, we read, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." How the sheep of the Good Shepherd should and may long for that blessed future, for that time of full communion with their Good Shepherd. Full communion, uninterrupted, blessed, glorious communion with an almighty God. But the church of God, his bride, is now also on the earth. The church militant, they're in a battle. They're in a battle against sin, Satan, flesh, the world. And in this battle against their own flesh and against that, all those enemies, sin and Satan, they can become so faint, so weary of self. And that Good Shepherd knows. He knows each of his dear sheep. He knows what his sheep need. And he desires to feed them and to have communion already now on this earth. He desires to strengthen their faith for that journey. For that journey in this world, in that battle against sin. How does the Lord Jesus Christ do this? How does he strengthen the faith? How does he feed his dear sheep? Well, through the preaching of the gospel, but also through the sacrament of Holy Supper. Also, the visible gospel. The Lord's Supper is one of the most holiest and most blessed ordinances that exists in the church today. And the Lord's Supper is to be celebrated by his sheep in obedience to his command that he said in Luke 22, verse 19, "Do this in remembrance of me. Dear congregation, the Lord willing, next week we will celebrate the Lord's Supper here in this church. We will have the sacrament of Holy Supper. And so this morning, the sermon has a special character. It's a preparatory sermon. It's a sermon to prepare the congregation, to prepare to be ready to partake of the Holy Supper. This is biblical. As we read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 29, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so, congregation, this week is a time of self-examination. And you say that applies especially for God's people, for the lamb and the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but it's for the whole congregation. Don't be passive this week, congregation. Be active. We live in a preparatory time. We must be prepared to meet God. And so this week is for all of us, for the whole congregation. You need to examine yourself whether ye are in the faith, as we read in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now I have a question. Who may attend? Who is worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper? The whole congregation? All those who have made public confession of faith? Who? It's not sufficient to have made public confession of faith to have an ecclesiastical right. You need a divine right. You don't only need to be members of this church. You need to be members of the living church, the church of Jesus Christ. All those who are recipients of God's grace are called, invited, and even commanded to obey and to participate. Those who have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, who are they? Maybe that's a question in your heart. You came, you know, you saw it in the calendar. The Lord's Supper is the next week. Maybe you tremble. How can I, as an unholy, polluted, corrupt sinner, how can I ever partake? I don't dare say I belong to the beloved people. All the little lambs, all the sheep of the good shepherd are called, invited. And the Lord Jesus Christ, with desire, desires to eat with them. How can those poor, struggling sinners, those trembling ones, those ones that stand so far off and who would never dare say, "I am one of those blessed people." It's too big of a word for them. How will they ever be brought, drawn to the table? How will those who tremble because of who they are and they see that Holy Supper as such a holy thing and they feel so absolutely unholy, polluted, filthy? That's one of the purposes of a preparatory sermon and a preparation week, that through the preaching they may listen, they may hear the marks of God's children, and that by the Spirit witnessing with their spirit they may know, yes, I also belong by God's grace to that people, that the Spirit may witness with their spirit and that they may be drawn to the table. The purpose of the sermon is to take away all the hindrances, all the obstacles. This sermon also is separating. It's very separating the precious from the vile. The vile, the unbelievers, are not called in any way to come to the Lord's Supper. But the precious one, God's people, those little lambs, the sheep, are called, they're invited. The purpose is that God, by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, testifies with their spirit, and that they may obey and not deny his name. Jesus Christ, he gives the most clearest mark in the Bible of those who are citizens of the kingdom of God, of those who he invites to come and to partake of the Holy Supper. He gives many of them, but I think especially of the Sermon on the Mount. In that Sermon on the Mount, he gives 8 beatitudes, 8 characteristics of those true citizens of the kingdom. No, these are not natural characteristics. These characteristics, this is worked by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all true Christians do not only have 1 or 2 or 3. No, they have all 8. Either you have all 8 or you have none. And yes, it's true. In different variations, in different degrees. And often they can't see it, yet it is true. And so by the Beatitudes, by these 8 characteristics, the Lord Jesus gives a clear description of his people, of whom he invites to partake of the supper. And I pray that this week, today, and this whole week would be a blessing for the entire congregation, for those who are only members who come and maybe comfortably go home again, that they may be awakened, that they may see they are not prepared to meet God. But also, as I have said in my prayer, maybe there's also some among you who profess, maybe even participated in the past at the Lord's Supper, but it's all profession. It's no possession. With all the love of my heart, examine yourself, congregation, and that it would be good, so good for you, if only all you do is profess with your mouth and you have nothing of the possession of your heart, that you would be awakened. But I also pray for God's dear children, all the lambs, all the sheep, that they may be led, drawn by the Lord, by the Good Shepherd, to participate, to come to the table, to sit under the shadow of his wings, and that they may be also assured of his covenant love, of his faithful eternal love for wretches, that they may be more united to him, and that they may have a desire to live more for the glory and for the honor of his name. He is worthy. It's all for him, for his honor, for his glory, and for the comfort of his church. And so this morning, I would like to draw your attention to the first beatitude, which we read in Matthew 5, verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The theme this morning is, blessed are the poor in spirit. 2 thoughts. Who are the poor in spirit? Who is Jesus speaking about? Are you poor in spirit? Who are the poor in spirit? And the second thought, why are the poor in spirit blessed? How are they blessed? What is their blessing? Why are the poor in spirit blessed? And congregation, listen. Pray. Pray for the Lord to open his word. Pray for the Lord to open your ears and those around you, and to open hearts. And pray and beg the Lord this morning. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, as David did, as we read in Psalm 139. And I pray that the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, richly blesses his word for his glory and for the comfort of poor sinners. And so our first thought, blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? Who are they? Who is Jesus referring to? To answer this question, we need to study some words in this verse. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And in Greek, in the New Testament, there's 2 words to describe the poor. One is to speak about those who have just enough every day. Just enough every day. Nothing extra, but they don't lack. They're poor. But they're living just, they have enough. But there's another word, a more profound word, a more radical word. And this is the word that the Lord Jesus is using of those who are absolutely poor, poverty. No, absolutely bankrupt. Radically poor. Jesus Christ is speaking not about earthly goods, not about those who have lots of possessions or little possessions. No, the poor and rich both need to be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about spiritual poverty. How do we know this is absolutely certain? Because he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And notice, he's not speaking about being poor spiritually, but about being poor in spirit. You say, what do you mean? I will try to explain. He's not speaking about a person who does not have the grace of God. He's speaking about a person who has the grace of God and who knows himself in the presence of God and who knows himself being spiritually poor. Being poor in spirit is what a man or a woman thinks of himself in the presence of the Almighty Holy God. This is vastly, radically, profoundly different from being poor spiritually, because we all are poor spiritually, without exceptions. God created man perfect. Man was rich. Rich spiritually in paradise. But Adam sinned and man became absolutely spiritually poor. His whole being was corrupt. Man by nature is very, very poor. He's without God, without Jesus Christ, and by nature without the Spirit of God. And man's greatest misery is he does not know his own misery. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus Christ is speaking about being poor in spirit, not about poor spiritually, although they're connected. He's speaking about a person who knows about his own personal poverty, spiritually poor. What a difference between a hypocrite and a child of God. A hypocrite tells you everything he and she has. He never lacks anything. He has it all. But the poor in spirit tells you what he misses, what he misses, what he lacks. He has nothing to say, I have this, I have that. He sees it's all sufficient in himself. To be poor in spirit is not just a character trait. It's not something you have naturally. It's not being timid or lacking courage or being nervous. No, it is by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a renewed being, being poor in spirit. What is it to be poor in spirit? The Bible, God's precious word, gives a very clear description. Please open your Bible to Isaiah 57 verse 15. We will read that verse, which gives a very clear description of one who is poor in spirit, of what the Lord says of who they are. Isaiah 57 verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's a description of the poor in spirit. I think of Moses, who felt in his spirit being unworthy for the task that God had called him to. He was conscious of his insufficiency and inadequacy to such a task. Is that how you feel? No, that's not just for office bearers, but for you in your personal life with all the responsibilities. I think of Isaiah. He saw a little glimpse of the glory of God, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I think of Abraham, who said, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I think of Peter, who said to the Lord Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. These men were poor in spirit. What did they all have in common? They had a consciousness, a knowledge of who they were in the presence of the Almighty God. To be poor in spirit is absent of all pride. Humility, humility, humility. No self-assurance in self. No self-reliance. Those who are poor in spirit, they become humble. There's humility. The poor in spirit is ever begging, ever sighing, ever crying because he has daily needs. He needs everything from God. He has nothing in self to live out of. He needs everything from the Almighty God. To be poor in spirit means not to rely on anything in self. Why? Why sheep? Why lambs? Why children of God? Why can you not rely in anything in self? Because you know and you learn more and more that everything in self is corrupt. It's insufficient. Poor in spirit is to have a tremendous awareness of your nothingness and your sinfulness in the presence of an almighty, holy God. And at the same time, a longing, a desire for a communion, for his favor. What is it to be poor in spirit? It's to be spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt, not able to keep the law. You long to keep the law, but you cannot keep the law. You're guilty, and you have a mountain of sin, and you have a great debt to pay, and you have nothing to pay. And the Lord has to take everything out of our hands, out of our hearts, everything. We need to be absolutely stripped, that we become absolutely bankrupt. That's what it is to be poor in the spirit. And at the same time longing for the favor of God, for reconciliation with God. The Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are those who are utterly destitute in themselves. Blessed are those that are absolutely spiritual bankrupt, who have no more spiritual money to present to the Lord. Blessed are those who are conscious, who know of their spiritual poverty. By God's renewing grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, sinners become spiritually poor. They experience their spiritual poverty. The Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Blessed is the teenager, the boy, the girl, who knows his spiritual poverty. It's poor, not rich, but poor. Blessed are those who have become poor in spirit by the teaching of God's grace. May I ask you, my friend, do you know something of this true mark of a Christian, of being poor in spirit? My friend, be honest with your soul. If you feel anything in self in the presence of God except spiritual poverty, it means you have never truly, really faced him. Are you poor in spirit? The hypocrite is so glad. He is so good. He has good faith, good this, good that. But the poor in spirit grieves. He's so bad. Everything's bad. It's all bad. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Man, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I have nothing, poor, nothing to pay, nothing to present, lost, guilty, bankrupt. Are you bankrupt, my friend? Do you know a little something of this? Do you know something of who you are in the presence of a holy God? Are you sinful and wretched? Is everything on your side absolutely insufficient? Your faith, your holiness, your zeal, your love. Are you spiritually bankrupt? Do you confess with Job, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes? And do you hunger and thirst for God? Knowing your bankruptcy, do you hunger and thirst for a righteousness which is outside of yourself? That righteousness of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, do you need his robe of righteousness to cover you, to cover your rags? Does Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, describe your heart? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My friend, if this mark is not true in your life, with all the love of my heart, do not partake of the Lord's Supper. But if it is true, if it is true that you know something, you are welcome, you're invited to attend the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the good shepherd of his sheep, he invites and he commands them to attend in remembrance of him. Why? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ give this ordinance? And why does he invite the poor in spirit, those wretched ones, those bankrupt ones? Because he delights to have communion with sinners. Why? Because these are his beloved sheep. They were given him in eternity. He has come to this earth to pay for them, to fulfill the law for them. He gave his life, he gave his blood, he gave himself as a sacrifice, especially for them. And he desires with desire to comfort his dear sheep. But why are they blessed? That's our second thought. But let us first sing now from Psalter 233. Psalter 233, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul for thee, I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. Psalter 233, the first three stanzas. Thank you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Why are the poor in spirit blessed? Well, let's read Matthew 5, verse 3, the whole verse. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This seems like a contradiction. Poor and blessed. Poor and supremely, extraordinarily happy, blessed. How are they blessed? How are those poor in spirit blessed? Why are they blessed? Congregation, the first beatitude, the beatitudes are not just in an order that doesn't really matter. No. Everything in the Word of God is inspired, also the order of the beatitudes. This first beatitude is placed in the beginning on purpose. It's a foundational beatitude to all the other seven. It's a foundational character of every child of God. Without being poor in spirit, the other beatitudes are not really a reality. They're not. Without being poor in spirit, you will never mourn for your sins. Without being poor in spirit, we will remain proud, and we will not be meek. We will not hunger and thirst for righteousness. We have our own righteousness. We need to be broken. We need to become poor, lost, guilty, bankrupt. Because those ones are blessed, very blessed. They mourn for their sins, as we hope to speak about on Wednesday night. But they also hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're meek. They're the peacemakers. Why are the poor in spirit blessed? Without the knowledge of spiritual poverty, a sinner will never see his or her need for that only precious Savior, Jesus Christ. They will never see their needs. Like the rich young ruler, he wasn't poor in spirit at all. He was rich. They will never see that precious Savior and need him, not only with their mind, but with their heart, with their whole life. It will never become precious to them that he came for lost sinners. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 31 and 32. And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Without being poor in spirit, they will never know, they will never believe, and they'll never rejoice in the righteousness of another, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without being poor in spirit, they will never need the sacrifice of Jesus, because they have their own sacrifices. We need to be stripped of everything, nothing to pay no more. And that is the way that the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ becomes precious, necessary. It becomes the only way of reconciliation with the holy, almighty, offended God, that I have nothing. By nature, we are blind to see our utter spiritual poverty, and we resist with all our might to become spiritual bankrupt. But the Lord teaches his sheep, his people, that they are poor in spirit, lost, bankrupt. What a blessing, congregation. What a blessing to know that you are poor in spirit, that you're bankrupt. Blessed are those who realize they have no righteousness of their own. Blessed are those who know they have nothing to pay. Blessed are those who are bankrupt, but who seek everything in another, who seek everything outside of themselves, who seek everything in that precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that you? All holy, all unclean, I am nothing else but sin. On thy mercy I rely. Give me Christ or else I die. Lord, deny me what thou wilt, only ease me of my guilt. Suppliant at thy feet I lie. Give me Christ, or else I die. Is that your heart? Bankrupt? Lost? Nothing? Nothing to pay? Nothing to present to the Lord? But he, that precious Savior, has he become precious? Maybe you don't dare say it to anyone else, but in your heart, there's awe for him, reverence for him, love for him. You need him. You need him. My friend, is this a description of your life? Poor in spirit and blessed because you've been led by God's grace to see him who has been revealed through the preaching, through the word of him whose name is Jesus Christ. Is this you? Oh, you say, but I'm not poor enough. My friend, you will never, ever become poor enough. You will never be able to put a check mark beside, I'm poor enough. Never. But is it true in your heart? Is this essence in your heart? Is it true by the work of the Holy Spirit? Have you become bankrupt, lost? And that Jesus Christ, he becomes your only hope. He becomes everything for you. Have you seen something of his riches, of his beauties, a little something, and your heart went out to him? And maybe you cannot say he's mine, but you long that that good shepherd would be your shepherd, and that you need him. You cannot live without him. Have you seen something of the riches of his precious name, when he was born with children? What was his name? The little babe in the manger in Bethlehem. What did his parents need to call him by the instruction of the angel? Jesus. We all know that name. We say it many times. You hear it many times. But I ask you this morning, has that name become the most sweetest name for your soul? Jehovah saves. Saves wretches. Saves those who are poor in spirit. He saves bankrupt ones. Ones who have nothing. Because he has everything for them. Blessed. All those people are so supremely blessed. My friend, do you hunger and thirst for him and for his righteousness? Is there knowledge of self in the presence of God? But is there also knowledge and faith? That true saving faith, that beggar's hand, maybe that trembling hand that goes out, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Is it true in your life, in your heart? Those who know something of this by God's grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit, they have an urgent need for a Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, if there is no urgent need for a Savior, don't come to the table. Don't, please don't. Don't pollute the table. It's holy. And it's not so holy that no poor beggars can come. No. But it's holy. It's precious. Be honest with yourself. If it's just a name, and he hasn't become precious, if you don't need him for everything, for your righteousness, for your sanctification, for that only way back to God, for the way of communion, to receive favor, to receive a token of his love, then don't come. But if it's true, if it is true in your heart, you are most welcome to eat then. And the Lord's says in that form, no, I should say our forefathers wrote in that form, that those who feel this truth in their heart are most welcome, and that the Lord will not deny them, but give them an undeserved blessing. We're called to examine ourselves. It's easy to examine others, right? Him? Her? No, yourself. Examine yourself this week, congregation, and pray for the whole congregation, that the whole congregation would receive a blessing. All of them. We all need it. All of us need a blessing this week. Whether we need to be born again, whether we need to be awakened, or whether we need to be drawn also to this table. My friend, are you poor? But is your only hope in him, in the precious Lord Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered? Surrendered to everything. At his feet, with nothing in self, but looking up unto him. Needing him, trusting in him, that he has fulfilled that law for transgressors, and you're a transgressor, and you see him, that beauty, that law fulfilling one. Do you know you need to pay guilty, and you need to pay a holy offended God, and you have nothing But do you see, do you look up unto him that he has made that payment. He has paid with his blood, with his life on the cross. If this is true, my friend, you are invited. No, not by me. Not by me. Not by the consistory, but by the good shepherd. He who says with desire, I desire to eat this supper with you. The poor in spirit are invited. They're blessed. They're invited to come and sit under the wings, under the shadow of his wings. They're invited to come and to find rest under the wings of that precious, glorious Savior. They are to come to sit at the table and to meditate upon the wounds of the Lamb of God, because there is the only place that you will find consolation in his wounds, comfort for your soul. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are, for theirs is. What does this mean? It's in the present tense. Blessed are. That means that the poor in spirit are and remain this way until death. They will not pass this experience. Is that your experience? They remain this way. They continually remain poor in spirit, and they become poor and poor and poor. They don't become richer and richer and richer in self. No, they become poor, poor and poor in self, but they become richer and richer in another, in Jesus Christ. And the Lord needs to teach us not only that we are sin, that we have done sin, that we remain sin, and that we see more sin. Why? Because that's the way the Spirit strips us of everything. And that is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes precious. We must decrease, and he must increase. My friend, the entire purpose of the work of the Holy Spirit, by the Word and the Spirit, through the preaching and the sacrament, is that Jesus Christ becomes your only foundation. That's a hard lesson, because we like to look at this experience, right, children of God? We like to look at this feeling. But I hope in this week that you examine yourself, and you cannot deny that these marks, as you read in the form of Holy Supper, that they're real, but that you can't make them your foundations. And that's a hard lesson. That's a hard lesson, that it's true. But Lord, I have nothing. Nothing. I'm bankrupt. That it may lead you to that only place, lost, bankrupt, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his dear Son. They are now already in that kingdom. Already. What a blessed people. What a blessed people, congregation. Children, do you look at certain people and say, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I want to have a big business. I want to become rich. I want to become famous. I want this. I want that. I hope you hear this morning through the Word of God. There's a people that's a blessed people. Not rich with all the goods of this earth, but that are poor in spirit, that have nothing in self, and they may be blessed on this earth, but that you may have a jealousy, a holy jealousy, to become that people of God that are poor in spirit, because they are blessed, richly blessed, in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. And they are invited to the supper. They are invited to come. And the Savior says, with delight, I desire to have this supper with you. Bankrupt sinners may sit. Bankrupt sinners who have nothing in self, but look outside of self, that have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, may come and rest under his wings. And at the table, that good shepherd, that kind shepherd, that loving shepherd, that precious shepherd that has a heart full of compassion and who infinitely loves his dear lambs and sheep. And I say it reverently, he condescends and he comes to that table and he speaks, "My little lamb, my dear sheep, put forward your hand and take that bread. Put forward your hand and take that cup. My little lamb, my little sheep, poor in spirit, eat, drink. Be not faithless, but believing. Be assured of my love for you. And oh, to taste, congregation, a little sip of that love, a little experience of that love of a triune God, of the Father through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, when it's applied by the power of the Holy Spirit at that table. That's a little. A little taste of heaven. A little taste. And what will it be? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What will it be to enter? To forever sit at his table to eat and drink. No more sin, forever delivered. No more unbelief. But to be able to look to him face to face, as Job said, my eyes shall see him and not another. What a blessed time. But we're on this earth, church of God, a church militant. And the Lord Jesus Christ desires to comfort you. Examine yourself this week. And may you with longing, with desire, with hunger, come as poor little dogs, as little beggars in the midst of death, having nothing, to yet come to sit at the table and to taste something of his love. And he says, oh, my friends, drink abundantly. Oh, there's so much in him. There's a sufficiency for the whole world, for the vilest of sinners. What an abundance. Oh, to taste in sweet communion, Lord, with thee. What a blessing. And he says that they will be delivered. Theirs is the kingdom. He will come again and he will take them home, delivered free from all sin. But now in this life, he longs to comfort them. O church of God, may it be that we examine ourselves and that we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know it's true in my life. But that we may come in the midst of death. That's a hard lesson, but that's a good place to be. With nothing, but looking for everything from him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we begly, richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that those who know a little something of what we've tried to explain from thy precious word of poor in spirit, that they may have a little comfort, that they know that the Lord knows of them, that they cannot deny it, and that they long to have communion with thee, that they have no hope in self, but their only hope is in that precious Savior, thy dear Son, and that they long to live for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, we pray, bless thy word to the entire congregation in this week. Help now also the brother elders in teaching catechism. Bless also these simple means of grace. May give us a desire to keep thy day holy and to bring us again in thy house tonight. Give much prayer, give much opening. Lord, we beg thee for thy honor, for thy glory, and that thy kingdom may come and that thy will may be done. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 187, all four stanzas. 187, all four stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, all four stanzas. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.